Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? Well, here's the message that he was to cry. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. And then he tells them, what's the result? If the move is just a fabrication of the flesh. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth. Yes. Because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Lord, help us in the next few moments before we perhaps have another special and turn the service over to Brother Hedgepath for whatever you've laid on his heart, that we might see from the scriptures here as just a collective body of believers here, especially our church, those that are here tonight, those that are listening, those that will be joining us, that they see my heart on what I believe the scriptures would have for us, on what a move of God would include, how it would look, without trying to cliche it, stereotype God. Certainly you have liberty to be God. And we just want to be your people, the sheep of your pasture, that allows the shepherd to do according to his own bidding. Do a work in us, we'd ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Certainly, I would say this by way of Isaiah and other places, we can't schedule the beginning of a revival,
no.
The beginning of an awakening, nor can you schedule the end of one. But you can pray and prepare for it.
Yes.
Can't make it happen. You can't make God pour out His glory, pour out His presence, whatever you... We use too many terms. I'm going to sound like I'm not a Baptist anymore. But the way they're going, I told our church this recently, and I don't remember, my uncle remembers this conversation a year or two ago, and I said, if the Baptists keep going the way they're going, can I call myself something else? And he said, to be fair, they've been calling you something else for a while, and that's probably true. But in Nehemiah, without preaching the whole book, you see the wall that's built there, all that went on, you know the story, all the opposition and the attacks and the accusations and all of the potential distractions. But in Nehemiah, when the people planned for a work and they prayed for a work, they prepared to seek God, they were positioned for God to move. You can't schedule it. You can't force it. I do see all the preparation and the prayer and stuff in the first several chapters leading up to chapters 8. Mm-hmm. Where they're in a place of security and stability. They're not just willing. They're ready for God to do something. And I'm trying to let our church know, especially in recent days, that every move that claims to be of God isn't.
Right.
That every time that a crowd gathers and gets emotional does not indicate God is there. I'm not against emotion. Or we'd have to be against God. But everyone that names the name of Christ isn't of Christ. Matthew 7, before we look at some of these markers of a move of God in Nehemiah, Matthew 7, the Lord Jesus says, enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And I didn't say it, Jesus did. As long as we got the name of Jesus tagged on this, we're okay. No, we're not. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We read that even being the words of Christ, at the risk of somebody saying, sounds like you're judging. Sounds like you're putting God in a box. You're reading it, I'm reading it, you see it, I see it. We're not, as a church, our church, no. And I was talking to my wife today, I said, what if the Lord ever had a bunch of families and we lost the vote, so to speak, where they don't have to follow the leadership of the pastor, they can just vote the pastor out. It's their prerogative. But while I'm here, I'm trying to let our church know we're not trying to stay in a box.
Right.
We're trying to stay in the book.
That's right.
And if it's not in the book, it's not going to be in this church.
Yeah.
Because the book says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. The book says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Mm-hmm. The book says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Amen. The book says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. It says, approve things that are excellent. It says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. The book says, strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We're trying to prepare our church for these last days that we need what is lacking, which is the spirit of discernment in so many places. And I'm troubled by it. I'm trying to guard against it for our church, even in this meeting, that we understand there's going to be a move of God. There's certain earmarks to it. That we need to be able to discern between the holy and the profane, the clean and the unclean, the acceptable and excellent things that God has pointed out. And I want our church to have discernment. And there are a couple of tools given to us to have discernment. And so you can't judge. I don't have to. God did. But I want to discern what is of God and what is not. And if you make a list of the tools God has given us to have discernment about a move of God versus what is the move of the flesh, education doesn't make the list.
No.
Experiences don't make the list. Emotions don't make the list. Two things, in my opinion, make the list: the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And they always work harmoniously in tandem with each other.
Yes, they do.
He said, well, the Spirit of God told me this. If the Spirit told you something contrary to Scripture, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. And if it wasn't the Holy Spirit, it was an unholy spirit, an unclean spirit. I've had this conversation many times, even leading up to this meeting, and I've said it many times in various ways, that I don't believe these last days are going to be days of no religion, but a melting pot of all religion.
Yep.
Where everything goes is, and if you don't accept that, then you just hate everybody. Well, get in line. They told us that 3 years ago when we wouldn't close the church either. Or you just hate everybody. Preachers in Maine, you're the spirit of the Antichrist. I mean, You take this into like the 50s in places like Romania, when Russia and other places came in, and they didn't say no Jesus. They just demanded that you said you can have Jesus Christ and communism cohabitable. And they accused and attacked anybody who said otherwise. And today the demands are more disguised, but no less dangerous. Mm. We're told you can have Christianity as long as I can have it with carnality. You can have Christianity as long as we can have it with compromise or cowardice. And if you dare question that, but you hate revival, you're putting God in a box. You live by fear and not faith. Well, I think there's clear evidence of a move of God in the Scripture versus a move of the flesh. We're getting to Nehemiah just to point out quickly the things that I want to point out. And I don't even think it'll be 20 minutes. There's other examples in the Scriptures without even going to them that would be the opposite. One that came to mind would be Aaron and the golden calf. When the man of God, Moses, and the move of God didn't happen how and when they thought it should, they decided to fabricate something for themselves and still call it of God.
Yes.
When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. And to read that passage sometime, and everything was up. Participation was up, volume was up, giving was up, energy was up, emotion was up, and the God of heaven was not there. Moses gets back and says, who is on the Lord's side? And the Levites go stand by him. Not in that same passage, but other passages, I believe, and there's guys here, many of you that know the book much better than I do, even the history of it. That when they were numbered and counted, you add up the other tribes at one time, they said from 20 years old and up, number the men of war, and there were 600,000 plus in those 11 tribes. In another place, they say number the Levites from 40 days and up, a month old and older, and there was 22,000, roughly. If I'm going to follow the 600,000 just because it's the bigger crowd, I'd probably be on the wrong side of the line. But in the book of Nehemiah, we won't read all the examples. We'll start in chapter 8 here in a moment with some of the earmarks. The first one all through the book is, number one, supplication or prayer was prevailing. 14 recorded prayers in Nehemiah just in that short book. Not mentioning all the non-recorded, non-worded prayers, if you will. You get the idea they never strayed far from prayer. That they knew a move of God cannot be fabricated.
Right.
So we must keep close relations to God. Opposition comes, they run to God. Accusation comes, they run to God. Open letters come, conspiracies, they run. Every time that something happens, they run to God and say, it's taking its toll, we need you to strengthen our hands. Prayer or supplication was prevailing. Number two, which is in chapter 8, because number one, really, we'd have to read the first 8 chapters. The scriptures were preeminent.
Yes, amen.
In Nehemiah chapter 8, it says, all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the 7th month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. If our church is wondering, those that are here and those that are listening, well, if we're going to see a move of God, what does it look like? Supplication will be prevailing. It'll be all through it. The scriptures will be preeminent. In a move of God in Nehemiah, when they were ready for God to do something, the book was opened and it was read and expounded by men.
Yes.
Try not to get too far off on just some pet peeves of recent days, but the scriptures being preeminent and you all throughout the Bible, when the word of God is elevated, I'm not downing ladies. I'm just saying when the people, the men and the women and the children of understanding got around the word of God, men stood up and opened it and read and expounded it. Maybe we could probably tag on a sub note there, straight men.
Yep. Amen.
Commercial for our church or anybody else out there who refuses to take down our title that we share, but you've exposed yourself for your liberal compromising. I've saved all the videos and the screenshots. I don't have to make up this. And I encourage it. I have it. Watch the president of the Asbury Seminary, not their university, two separate things, and his YouTube video today or 14 hours ago on answering the critics. He makes it pretty clear where they stand. And you can be anything as long as you're not a practicing one, because anything outside of marriage would be sin. So if you have the tendencies or the temptations of a homosexual, that's fine, because temptation isn't sin. You can still be a part of this. And then he talks about ecumenicism and how I'm not a Pentecostal, but they're welcome. The Baptists are here and the Methodists are here, and that's not this point. Yeah. Scriptures were preeminent. Nothing is ever accomplished outside of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Even in chapter 8, verse 18, it says, also day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. You got to... Some get bothered when the word of God gets in the way of what they're trying to do. The scripture must be preeminent. I read something by a Baptist today about meetings that are going on around the country that said that he said this or quoted somebody. Oh, it's lacking in preaching, but the people are sincere. Since when has sincerity been the standard for a move of God? Or genuineness been the test of if God is in something or not? The scripture must be preeminent.
Amen.
You see in this, in chapter 8, verse 5, there was a reverence for the word of God. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up.
Yeah.
There was a respect for the word of God. It continues in verse 6. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up of hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Any genuine move of God where the scripture is preeminent, there's a reverence for the word of God and a respect for the word of God that is always accompanied by a response to the word of God. Mm-hmm. You're good or bad, you must respond. Chapter 8, verse 8. So they read in the book and the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. They have to tell them this, mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. There was a response to the word. So supplication was prevailing, scripture was preeminent. Number three, sorrow was present. And understand the word is positional, not emotional, but there was conviction of sin in a move of God.
That's right.
In chapter 9, verse 1, it says, now on the 20th and 4th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. If there's no conviction of sin, I'd argue there's no move of God.
You're right.
There's no godly sorrow over sin. There's no move of God. And godly sorrow always works repentance. And godly sorrow, again, is positional. It's not always emotional. Because you let the Word of God be preeminent and people seek God and prevail in prayer. And then there you see, well, there's got to be sorrow present. Well, one person may shout. One may cry. One may laugh. One may sit stoic. But the sign is not your emotion. Is there repentance?
Amen.
There's a conviction of sin seen here in a move of God. And then in verse number 2 of chapter 9, there's a confession of sin. It says, and the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. All of a sudden, when they're in praying the way they should and the scriptures are elevated the way it should be and godly sorrow sets in and precedes repentance, there's a confession of sin. Folks start calling sin what God calls it. People start agreeing with what the God of this book calls their sin. And there are those, I'm sure I have friends, who are watching to see what I would say. Now, you're friends if somebody likes you on Facebook. Well, there is confession of sin going on around the country. It is easy to jump on the bandwagon of confession when what's confessed is generic, unspecific sin.
You're right.
Where there's nothing too controversial and nothing too convicting that's being confessed. Even in what appears to be confession. I got no problem confessing anger and pride and selfishness and gluttony and everything because everybody can relate and agree. But I won't mention contaminated texts. If you started with a contaminated text, you got a contaminated book. I'd like to see somebody confess contemporary music.
Yeah.
Compromised standards. Charismatic practices. Crooked leaders, whether they're the women or the queers. Corrupt sexual behaviors. Because when God moves, conviction and confession comes without reservation or restriction.
Right.
And I got to hasten because I got 4 minutes left. Number one, supplication will be prevailing. You're just getting it in raw form tonight. I was discouraged about some things, so I did what I felt I should do, and I took a nap, and I woke up and texted Brother Hedgepath. I said, I think I'm going to say a few things. Maybe I woke up with a headache and I'm just cranky. The scriptures were preeminent in a move of God. Sorrow is present.
Yes.
Stability, if I can use this for alliteration, stability meaning balance, is practiced. Things aren't out of balance in a move of God. You see in chapter 9, verse number 3, if I can find it. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of God, their God, 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed, and then it mentions a third thing here, and worship the Lord their God. God is a balanced God. And it seems inconvenient for some because here comes the Word of God again. And equal parts are given in a balanced service. There is no let's read for 5 minutes and then worship for 155 minutes. Anywhere in a move of God in the Scriptures. I would argue the other way, if we're going to give priority to one of the three, let it be the book. And I told our churches, there might be some singing this week, congregation, there might be some special music. I don't know what the Lord's going to do, but we're just going to get around the book.
Good.
Stability or balance is a mark of the move of God. If you look at chapter 9 again, verse number 2, and I think we're in good company here tonight, I hope. Supplication was prevailing, the scriptures were preeminent, sorrow was present, stability is practiced, separation is participated in. He said in verse 2, and the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers. And I don't think that was just those that they had just moved in next door. And hey, you're strange to me because I don't know you yet. A move of God is always marked by separation. From putting off what needs to go and putting out who needs to go. Where there is a coming out from among them. And there is a clear distinction being made of who is on the Lord's side and who is not. All the way into chapter 10, verse 28, that I'll get in just the last minute or so that I have in a second, but I'll read it now. It says, and the rest of the people, they're all going to band together here in agreement. The priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands under the law of God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding, and it goes down through. You see the separation that was participated in? In chapter 9, it said they separated from the strangers, and then in chapter 10, they're going to band with those who chose to separate from the strangers. They separated from that which was not of God, and they separated from those who would not separate from that which was not of God.
That's right.
It isn't a synonym, but separatist almost used to be a synonym for Baptist. without degrees being tacked onto it. That I separate from those who are not going with God and those who will not separate from those who are going with God.
Amen.
You don't have to agree, you don't have to like. You know what I'm saying? That's just my opinion. I shouldn't say that's my opinion. In my opinion, that's what the book says. You can't include, I'm saying, I'm focusing on this week so I'm not so cranky about all these shams that are going on. You can't include what God hates and call out of God. Let's have a meeting. Let's have a movement of God. And you got worldly manpower, most of whom are not saved to begin with, wicked music, and at best a watered down message. But it has the sound of heaven. This is just a slice of heaven. And you're seeing words come out like epic and radical. Put down the funny grass and open the book. Epic. Radical. I mean, one of the songs being floating around these days, they had to change the word because the Christian author originally put in there the phrase about how this is like a wet, sloppy kiss of God. I question your sexuality, man. The church of God does not need some weak lover God.
Amen.
Men are looking for a leader in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying you got to rip down every curtain and whip out half the crowd, but it'd be a good idea in most churches. Probably in most of them, in this one. Starting with the pulpit, let's just be honest. Psalm 96 is a worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Unholy worship isn't beautiful or pleasing to God. Right after that famous verse that everyone likes to tell, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, the same verse says, fear before him all the earth.
Yes.
Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Mm-hmm. Separation is practiced in a move of God. And lastly, in chapter 10, a steadfastness is produced. Mm-hmm. It's not something that blows in and blows out. In chapter 10, verse 28, we read that. How this group of people are separating. In verse 29, they're cleaving. They clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walking God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and to do all the commandments of the Lord our God and his judgments and his statutes. And he goes down through what that looks like, wrapping it up in the end of verse 39, where he says, we will not forsake the house of our God. It produces a faithfulness to God. Because of this move of God in these people, and not all of them are probably on the same page starting out, supplications prevailing, the scriptures are preeminent, sorrow is present, stability is practiced, separation is participated in, a steadfastness was produced. They said, let's get together with those that have been a part of this move of God, a real move of heaven, and make a covenant together that what God has done here, we don't want to see it undone. We don't want to meet for 10 days and then return to normal status quo, where there's no lasting results and no fruit that remains. But a move of God produces steadfastness, faithfulness to the word of God, faithfulness to the people of God, faithfulness to the house of God. In the text, faithfulness to supporting the work of God financially. Now, don't want to get too far on that because that's not the message. I talk way too much about it. That it probably drives people batty, even in our church. Well, this person, they know the Lord, but you won't ever get them to church, and they just can't get them to read their Bible, and you can't get them to... Just hand them the book of 1 John. That's not the message. Just saying a flash in a pan that fizzles and dies is not what we need. Mm-hmm. We need a move of God.
Yes.
And God can do what he wants, where he wants, and when he wants. We ought to be praying and preparing. Because when he moves, there will be certain earmarks. And I know, let me end it with this. It's just the truth. I'm against a lot of men. I'm against a lot of music. I'm against a lot of movements. But I want to keep my proper priority. That more than I'm against all of them and all of that, I want to see God do something here. I think part of that is being against all that men and all that music and all that movement. But the priority is, God, would you do something here? Would you help us with your word and by your spirit? That we might see these things happen in a move of God here. And if he'd have it this week, we'd certainly welcome it, I would hope. It doesn't always look like we think it should, but it always looks like what the Bible says it should. And that's just what I wanted to say in the 4 minutes that I went over. Maybe just to give.